here we are at another week of me dabbling in Babble, and this week I am dabbling all by myself. It's been a while, I feel, since I've done a solo episode, and, you know, I could come up with excuses as to why I don't have a guest. There were some people that I reached out to and were kind of in the beginning phases of talks, but I'll be honest, I was kind of having one of those weeks where when it really came down to it, I was like, you know, the idea of taking on the scheduling and finding the time to get a guest interview ready for this Sunday was just not going to happen. And that's just the way that it is going to be this week is, you know, sometimes I take a little bit of a hiatus, and I even toyed around with the idea of not putting out an episode this week at all. But here I am giving you an episode, and I'm excited to do it. You know, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't want to, because, you know, sponsors, no sponsors, not enough to keep my bills paid to stress out about this. This is an easy breezy listening podcast. Now, there are lots of things in the world that we could talk about this week that are very consequential, but we're not going to be talking about those. If you want consequential, controversial topics, not even controversial topics, just consequential topics, then this is not going to be the podcast for you this week. And you hear my cat in the background there. Hopefully she settles down. We're just falling apart at the seams this week, aren't we? But you may hear in the background what sounds like a large wash basin filling. And if you think you hear that, you are absolutely correct, because I am also working on my laundry right now. So you're just really getting the curtain pulled back on all types of things this week. But I'm kind of amped up right now because I have done one of everybody's least favorite things to do, and that is cell phone shopping. Now, for me, when I cell phone shop, I am usually shopping from a position where my back is against the wall and something has gone catastrophically wrong with my cell phone, usually meaning that it won't charge or the screen has randomly decided to malfunction. I have had just really unfortunate luck when it comes to cell phones. Now, the thing that usually happens with me is it always seems for me that it is the charging port on the cell phone that goes out, and then, you know, you can't charge your phone, you are out of luck pretty quickly. So that has always driven me crazy, and I don't know, well, part of it, I know, was when I was working in a lab as a researcher, I feel like there was a lot of dust and things and random hazards that I think over time found its way to the charger port. That's just my working fan theory for when I worked in a research lab, because there was one phone where I took the phone in and they cleaned out the charging port and they were like, what the heck is this? And they pulled out some sort of gunk that they said they had never seen before. I don't know. I mean, I always have a case on my phone and I don't know, but I guess the ports get like filled with lint and other things, and over time they break. And it's not like I'm not someone who is exceptionally rough with a cell phone. I do run with my cell phone and work out with my cell phone, so that might cause problems as well. But I feel like I have very general use with my cell phone. I don't know. But the charger port always seems to break. And about a month ago, maybe more, the charger port on my current phone just stopped working. And I got this phone, I got this phone 20 months ago. And it's still working fine, which is the frustrating thing. Like, I don't want to have to get a new phone, but the charger port doesn't work. And right now there are lots of good trade-ins where I can get a decent deal if I trade in my phone now. And if I wait for like a new iPhone model to come out, then the trade-in values are just going to drop because there'll be a new model. and all of that. So I'm kind of like, I want to take advantage of that now, but I still owe like $300 on the phone, which like $300 is not that much for a new phone, especially because I got this phone for free. Anyway, long back history. That's really not that interesting. The first catastrophic thing I had happen with a phone was when I was moving to Wisconsin. I don't even remember what the issue was, but I remember was that I was moving from Terre Haute to Wisconsin, and I was going to be without a phone. And at that point, the biggest issue was that I was still on my parents' account, and apparently from people that I know that are still on their parents' account, it's much easier now that like you can add authorized users and like have people go and make changes. But at the time, I wasn't able to do that, even though I was 22 years old and getting ready to move out of state. So I had to go with my parents, and my dad is very old school when it comes to dealing with customer service. And like, to his credit, like when cell phones were kind of new, when your contract would be up, I do think that you could go in and you would kind of work and get more leverage and get a better deal. But now at this point, their hands are more or less tied, and there's only so much that they can do for you. So we couldn't find a time where we could go together, and it was very frustrating because I'm like, I am getting ready to move two states away, and I can't even go and do a simple customer service sales transaction without my parents. Like, this feels absurd. And that was how I ended up on my own phone plan, which is super fun. Then the next catastrophic thing was I had an iPhone that on, I believe it was my 23rd birthday, I woke up and there was like a pink tint to my screen, and my first thought was like, oh, that's weird. It's like, it must be doing something for my birthday. And then the screen went out and cut to like black and white fuzz and like a really old TV kind of a thing. And I was like, oh, this is absurd. Like, I literally just went to sleep, plugged my phone in, and woke up and my phone decided to break on my 23rd birthday. So I had to trade that phone in. And I don't remember, like, that was stressful. I was in grad school. Money was very tight. And I was very annoyed. But it also wouldn't charge. The screen, like, randomly broke. So that issue. So now, like, this most recent phone, it still charges because luckily I have wireless charging, so it's fine and it's functional. But I'm just like, okay, I know something's going to happen if I wait too long. So I did all I could do, and I really argued with these people to try and get them to waive the trade-in fee and whatever. And ultimately, with persistence, folks, the lesson here is I ended up getting them to give me a $350 credit. I didn't even have to leverage the podcast. You know, I should do that more. You know, I am an internationally available podcast, and sometimes I still have to just fight with the persistence of the commoner. That's a joke. I am as common as they come. But anyway, looks like I'm going to be getting a new phone relatively shortly. And I had a successful battle with customer service, so I'm feeling good about that. So I wanted to start with that positive story because, you know, that's where we're at. And now that I have bored you with that great customer service story, I think this is the perfect place for a word from our sponsor this week. So the other non-consequential conversation I thought we could have this week as a family is, you know, when I was in high school, there was one giveaway for my preferences. I don't know why I'm being so awkward about talking about what we all know I'm talking about. But one giveaway should have been that I was a longtime subscriber to Esquire magazine. I think I first got my subscription when I was 14 or somewhere around there. And I was really intrigued just by the concept of a men's magazine in the sense of men's fashion, culture, etiquette, style, and not, you know, the other type of men's magazine that obviously would do nothing for me. And so it's been a while. I don't currently have a subscription, so I thought it would be fun to look on the website, specifically the style section of the website, and just kind of do a check-in on some men's fashion. So kind of going into it, I'm hoping to find one thing I remember from Esquire is I remember that they were exceptional when it came to showing off watches. Watches and cologne. I still remember the Aqua di Gio ads that were in there. They were always like page one or page two, and they were just very, very vivid, very blue. It was always like, you know, someone on a some sort of sailboat in this incredibly gorgeous place. So, the watches though, I am really in need of a watch, I've realized. So I, for a long time, was against the smartwatch thing, and I still kind of maintain that. I ended up getting a Fossil smartwatch a couple years ago. They were on sale for a great price after Christmas, so I figured I would try it out, and I actually liked it for the most part. The problem now is it's got the Google OS, and I have an iPhone, and they do play nicely together for the most part, but I think, like, as the watch has gotten older, one thing that started happening is the fitness tracker. Like, when I would go on a run, it would just chew up the battery, and the battery wasn't really lasting through my runs anymore, so then it became kind of useless for the main thing that I used it for. And then it became doubly useless because I think part of it being Google OS and iOS with, you know, various iOS updates and all of that, is the time never synced right. And it was not a simple fix. You couldn't just set the time manually. At least I could never figure that out. And then it started to run really slow. So I haven't really been wearing it that much anymore. And I liked the form factor. It was a circular face, because for me, the thing about smartwatches is a lot of them have a square face and they just look kind of clunky and techy. And I think it is a great look for a lot of people. It just doesn't fit my personal vibe. So I really would love a great watch. So I'm hoping in the style section we'll get some watch content. But let's dive in and see what Esquire has to say about style. Now, the first article that comes up is The Curious Case of Benjamin Bratt. And now, I will fully confess, I do not know who Benjamin Bratt is. So let me pull up his IMDb page, because I assume that it's an actor. But this is something that I kind of forgot about that Esquire would do, is that it would kind of put style in perspective of a celebrity, which for the most part I thought was interesting. I don't believe that it is actually that person's style. I think it represents their personal style, what they put together for them for Esquire magazine, but it's very obviously a place for advertisers to promote their stuff. But it was really interesting. That's how I learned about Weekender boots, about Chukka boots, and really all of my boot content comes from Esquire. And now I feel like an absolute fool, because I do know who Benjamin Bratt is. Benjamin Bratt is in Miss Congeniality. He's Eric Matthews, the agent that becomes the love interest of Sandra Bullock. I thought he was quite suave in Miss Congeniality. So I wasn't going to click on that, but let's just click and see what Benjamin Bratt has to say about style. And you guys are probably thinking that this is insane to look at style through a celebrity. And, you know, you guys have probably also tuned out, because now you're getting style through the eyes of a celebrity through a podcaster, which, who wants that? Okay, so the opening photo is definitely something that I would wear. It is absolutely my vibe. It is a plaid blazer, like a retro Riviera shirt underneath it. It looks like I don't know the brand, but some sort of Weekender bag, a straight cut, light wash blue jeans, and cowboy boots. So the jacket is $3,200. The shirt is $2,700. There's a tie that you can't even see. That is apparently $250. The bag is $3,300. All of those are Dior. So it's a Dior bag, Dior jacket, Dior shirt. And this is the other thing that I look at, like a shirt for $2,700. This is the part where it's like, okay, Esquire, okay, fashion. This is obnoxious because I can recreate this look by going to Bonobos, which is not cheap, or J. Crew and Express. And again, none of those places are cheap, but they're definitely like, why am I going to spend more than $100 on a shirt ever? And if I'm spending $100 on a shirt, it better be like my favorite shirt. There's these sweater pillows at Bonobos that I really, really want. I think they're like $90, so I can't pull the trigger on them, but they are totally my vibe. And, you know, I'm just kicking that around in the back of my mind. So it's a very good look. He's jumping. I wonder how much the boots are. The boots are Tacovas. They're $325. Now see, that is like, so I splurged a couple of years ago on the brand is Thursday Boots, and they were a $200 pair of boots. But I was like, especially when I was living in Wisconsin, I'm like, I'm going to get so much wear out of these boots, and I still wear them. And it's been 4 years, so like $50 a year for some boots that still look great. Like, that's okay to splurge on every once in a while, in my view. Depends on what you value. Apparently, I value boots. And then we've got some great suit content, just well-tailored suits. Now this is definitely not my vibe. This was the main picture that I clicked on. It's like a dark charcoal blazer and a slightly lighter pinstriped pant with a very eccentric vest. Not my vibe. Sorry, Bradley. And then kind of the same outfit as the first outfit, except it's a gray blazer, jeans, black boots. Great watch though. Let's see. It's a pilot's watch by Latite Prince for $13,800. Like, it's such an absurd. Ooh, we've got a nice silky shirt. Okay, I realize what this is turning into, and it's obnoxious. So we're gonna move on from the curious case of Benjamin Bratt and see what else we can sink our teeth into with style here. Okay, so we've also got The Joy of Kendrick Sampson. Don't know who Kendrick Sampson is. We've got Jacob Elordi as young, restless, and homesick. He's in some 70s, 70s throwback, just like really obnoxiously styled. This is very much for the aesthetic, not an actual style. At least we have Lee Pace. Lee's in a nice cable knit yellow sweater with a blue fleece throw that he's got, and then Leslie Odom Jr. is in a gold sequined vest. So that's our celebrity content for Esquire for the week, the month. I don't know how often they update the website. Okay, so beyond the celebrity content, we have this week's coolest menswear releases. Let's take a quick dial in. So, okay, we've got a printed drill hat by Prada. Now, this is orange, light blue. It's $675. It's just a bucket hat. It's obnoxious. Okay, we've got an Ink Art Kylan Moore shirt by Iceberg. $400 shirt. Just looks like somebody has sketched on it. Not my vibe. We've got a $180 Reebok hoodie. Now, is Reebok trying to be like high-end streetwear? Maybe they always have been. Maybe I am just an idiot and don't know style. But $180 for a Reebok hoodie seems insane. Now we've got something that looks like it's from The Hunger Games. Geometric Cagoule, a Cold Wall X Macintosh at coldwall.com. $1,300. It's a color block hoodie that's got like a prism gray over a black color block. We've got a leather jacket for $1,100, some Italian leather shoes, some flip-flops that look like they have seaweed on them, and a garment dyed jacket. We've got Asics running shoes, a track jacket. Okay, so like the running stuff I would wear. I would definitely wear. But and they're like $140 for brand new running shoes. That's what you expect to pay. So I'm not offended by that. I think that like being one of the coolest drops of the week, that I don't buy. Now let's look at okay, so we've got a Jonathan Van Ness Complete Air Dry Cream review, and then some Lululemon deals. The can't miss Lululemon deals. That has to be SponCon paid content. Not going to go down there. But the 10 best beard conditioners to buy right now, that I would click on if I had a beard, but I don't. Okay, so we've got an article on swatches that say they're actual wearable art. I believe that swatches are pretty vibey. We've got the Omega's new Seamaster. Looks like you expect an Omega to look. We've got a Bulgari Octo Finissimo Ultra that looks very cool. It's not my style. The whole watch, not just the movement, is 1.8 millimeters thick. I want to know how much this costs because, like I said, not something that I would necessarily wear, but I do think it is a very cool vibe. Yes, it's really that thin. Okay, there's a click to learn more link. Maybe I don't even make enough for them to tell me how much the Bulgari Octo Finissimo Ultra is. But I really want to know. Yeah, you literally have to contact them for more information. So it's definitely one of those, like, what are those bags that, like a Birkin bag? I think it's that kind of situation where you can't just get one of these. But definitely great watch content, so I'm glad we've got that. Ooh, now we've got heat check. Okay, so the first heat check is Milo Ventimiglia's short shorts are back. Now, I am a big fan of short shorts. This is him just like walking, looks like he could be heading to the gym. So I'm big into short shorts. I'm big into short shorts when it comes to exercising. I'm big into casual short shorts. Like, I mean, especially living in Florida, let the legs see the daylight. A 7-inch theme for me is the right length. There's 6 inches are also very popular. 5 inches are also very popular. For me, like the nice happy medium where it like still looks natural and not like absurdly short, is the 7-inch mark. But I feel so passionately about short shorts when it comes to sporting wear is I wrote an article for Nerd Jock Blog, which was a blog that my brothers and I had for a couple of years. We have let the domain name expire on that, so now it's nerdjockblog and a bunch of numbers.wordpress.com. We were nerdjockblog.com for a while, but December of 2018, I wrote Don We Now Are Short Apparel. Both fans and players celebrate the freedom that comes with a shorter pair of shorts. So I have a long history and a verifiable record of supporting the short shorts. We've got Lewis Hamilton makes the case for the flight suit. It looks great on him. I'm not sure that I'm ever gonna rock a flight suit. We've got Robert Pattinson in a dark overcoat, says he channels Bruce Wayne brilliantly. Like, yeah, sure. And then Joe Jonas's cardigan is magic. It's just a color block cardigan. Not super into that. But okay, so that's the style section of Esquire. So I'm glad we had that adventure together. Thank you so much for coming on to that journey for me. I really can't thank you enough for indulging my complete nonsense. Just wanted to take a trip down style memory lane there. And really, by taking a trip down memory lane, I mean making generic comments on what the people at Esquire are talking about this week. Now, this weekend, I watched The Hunger Games for really the first time. I have not finished Mockingjay Part 2. We didn't have time to get all the way to the end of Mockingjay. But I have to say that I really am more impressed with The Hunger Games as a movie franchise than I thought I would be. I read the first book and saw the first movie and was just never really hooked by it. But Catching Fire, I think, really just turn the story up to a level that if you've seen it, I'm sure you can appreciate it. Or if you've read it, I'm sure you can appreciate it. I really discounted the storytelling, I think because it's a YA series and not involving wizard school. But I kind of makes me want to go back and read those books now, because Katniss Everdeen is an undeniable boss. And I was just really kind of blown away with how, one, well acted it is. And also, you know, conceptually, you understand that you're talking about children fighting each other in a war, essentially, when it comes to the Hunger Games. But I think it just the world building and just how catastrophic and tragic that is just really developed in an incredible way. We also watched this weekend, we rewatched the first two of the Fantastic Beasts movies, which I view very fondly. I will say that the second movie, The Crimes of Grindelwald, really gets a bit hard to follow. There's just a lot going on, but I think it's really cool to see adult magic people in the wizarding world doing cool things. And I'm excited for April 15th for The Secrets of Dumbledore. Kind of excited to see where they go with that. So thanks again for joining me for another week at Dan's Dabble and Babble. As always, feel free to follow me on Twitter at Babbling Dan, and follow me on Instagram at Daniel Burkett. And until next week, just keep babbling on, folks.